Welcome to the Countdown Podcast, and this is it. We're finally reviewing No Time to Die. It's a James Bond film. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for the 25th James Bond film in series. Directed by Cary Joji Fukunaga. It's a story by Neil Purvis, Robert Wade, and Cary Jolly. Based, of course, on James Bond by Ian Fleming. And it stars Daniel Craig, Rami Malek, Leah Seydoux, Lashana Lynch, Ben Whishaw, Naomi Harris, Jeffrey Wright, Christoph Waltz, and Ralph Fiennes. It is.
I think we're forgetting Ana de Armas.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't even make the list here on Wikipedia.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Ana de Armas, you're absolutely right. And thank you for picking me up. No Time to Finish runs 163 fucking minutes long.
How does that work out, Paul? 2 hours, 43 minutes?
It is 100% exactly that. The budget was somewhere between $250 and $300 million. To this point, it has made $670 million around the world, which means it's not that massive a hit, right?
No, it's, well, okay.
In a pandemic-affected world.
If that's what it is. And plus, they would have spent two times the marketing on this.
Exactly, as I'm saying, because it was marketed for 18 months. Yeah, originally meant to come out April 2020. Wayne is clearly pleased to have gotten here. It is the final Daniel Craig film. He said well before this film even was finished, I'm never doing this again. I don't care how much money you throw at me. I am done.
He broke his leg on Spectre. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Or maybe I did hear it.
Yeah, he said, I actually think to myself, I don't think I can do this anymore. I know how you feel, Daniel.
That is a middle-aged man's lament.
It's right there.
All right. Apparently, though, it's the fifth highest grossing film of 2021. Wayne, what is No Time to Die about? No spoilers, of course, even though we are the last place in the world this is open to.
Exactly. Everyone knows this. Okay. Yo, so at the end of Spectre, James Bond gave away his 00 status and said, fuck it, quit, right? And then, so now he's enjoying this tranquil-ass life with that French girl in Jamaica. What's her name?
No, it wasn't Jamaica. They were in Italy.
Oh, Italy. Well, they went to Italy, but then for a while they were Jamaica-ing. Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
Sure.
By the way, that was beautiful. So, yes. So, he's like chilling with her, man. They're just traveling around the world. You know how we do, clearly, pre-pandemic. But then, of course, his peace is short-lived because good old Felix Leitner turns up and says, yo, I need some help, James. And it's good that you're no longer working for his Madge because it's some black ops shit, okay? And the mission is to rescue a kidnapped scientist. Turns out to be way more treacherous.
That'll do.
Okay.
Yep.
That's it.
If you're any further into this for spoilers, I think that is fine. Of course, there's a MacGuffin, there's a world threat, and James has to bring about the end of said threat.
Sure, sure.
Yep. All right.
Well, otherwise, there's no movie. Exactly.
How did the critics find it? I mean, critics beyond our try-hard efforts at that, Wayne. Rotten Tomatoes has it as 84% of reviews from 374 sample critics to be positive with an average rating of 7.3 out of 10. Metacritic has it 68 out of 100 critics, or out of 66 critics based out of 100, sorry. And CinemaScore gave it a grade of A- based on audience members coming out on an A+ to F scale.
This is pretty good, no, Paul?
Well, they're all very
good. Those ratings are very popular.
Very good grades. I would concur. Wayne, what did you think then of Time to Finish?
Okay, look, let's get past the fact that it was 8 hours long.
Yep.
All right? Because it did not feel through 2.5, 2:40.
Didn't
to me, not at all.
It absolutely did to me. I felt this runtime.
I know how this review is going to go. I know how this review is going to go.
Fucking, I'm like, oh my God, how are we only at this point in the
proceedings? What?
Yep.
Okay, so I saw it with like a couple people, and the girl who took me there said about halfway through the movie, I think I've lost some weight because I've been shitting myself for like an hour and a half. And I went, it is good, isn't it? And she said, yeah, I'm actually excited. And she doesn't like James Bond.
Wow.
She's like, you, except she got titties. So it's like...
Presumably some other differences as well.
Okay. Yes. So what did I think? Oh my God, it's fantastic, bro. It's fantastic. So check it out. This ain't no normal Bond movie because I know what you're walking in with. And this is what I did too.
Hot damn.
You're thinking, how much better or worse will it be than Casino Royale, which is considered by many enthusiasts to be the best Bond film ever?
It is the best Bond film ever.
It definitely is, right? Mm-hmm. So how does it compare? Well, it doesn't compare. This is not the same Bond film. This is not the dun 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 dun. What's up, bitch? Hey, what, you know that kind of, it's not all that shit. It's not like as slick or smooth. This is some fucking emotional ass shit. All right, this is a different Bond film, and I think that it's actually all the better for it because remember, it's his swan song, so it means something that this is Dan's last film, right?
What you're 100% right on, and what I will agree with is that this film is the culmination of a number of themes through these Daniel Craig films, as well as his arc. And the best thing about the Daniel Craig era, other than the fact they grounded it, made it more gritty, which largely was a result of Austin Powers completely lampooning the whole James Bond thing, they went, we can't do this anymore. We can't have him be this Pierce Brosnan surfing a yes. wave in Although, and craziness.
To be fair, after fucking, what was the surfing Pierce Brosnan one?
Die Another Day.
Die Another Day, right? After that, it was like, what the fuck, right? Bond was the first franchise, for my money that I've observed, that decided to go gritty, right?
Bond.
But Bond was already a gritty show. See, what Bond was doing is like, oh, it's a wink and a nod to the audience.
Yeah, but
they've
changed. That's my point, though.
After that, you get fucking, like, you know, the Nolan verse Batmans and motherfucking Zack Snyder type dark shit. Everything went dark from that on, and I'm sure the James Bond franchise are the first guys to do it.
I can't remember what year Casino Royale was.
It was like 2006 or some shit, man.
That was before Dark Knight, but not before Batman Begins. Maybe that was the same year as Batman Begins.
But it became everyone went realistic, and they even went like Hughes, like not giving him exploding pens anymore. We don't go in for that anymore, 007, and shit like that. You know, so what I'm saying is to go gritty like this. This was kind of they were one of the pioneers for real.
Yeah, but again, that as a result. Anyway, point being, yeah. What I like about this is that he's a more vulnerable, realistic
Absolutely.
Human being. He's much easier to relate to than the tie adjusting,
that's true. That's
swaggering
true.
Ladies man who just beds everything and
because he's in love this whole movie.
Yeah, well, he's in love with two different women through the course of the series of films, right?
Aren't and we all? So it's like, yeah.
No, Wayne. Not all of us.
No, but I'm saying like, it's, yeah, you're right. But that's already less important because is this a spoiler? No, it's not. Well, basically, in the previous films, right? He only nails one woman.
We can spoil everything from the previous films.
Yeah. So he only nails like one woman in the previous films. In Casino Royale.
No, well, no.
You know the hot Latina girl? He doesn't actually have sex with her, right? He leaves her before whatever.
So Vespa and then I can't remember the name of this particular character in this one, Madeline or whatever.
And not in Casino Royale. So he only nails one woman in Casino Royale?
No, in Casino Royale. I'm saying in the series, I thought you said.
Oh, he nails like, well, in Quantum of Solace, he didn't nail that either.
I was too busy wasting his time on a ridiculous action.
But I'm saying like, this is a different Bond already.
Yes, I agree.
Normal Bond is like, boom, right? But so that's already happening. But with this film here, like you said, this is even the way it's shot doesn't look like a conventional Bond film. It's still pretty.
I'll take your word on that.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's still pretty, but they're very like long close-ups on his face and you see him almost crying and he's saying like, I miss you to dead women's graves and stuff like that. This is not Bond, really, but it is Bond because now we're seeing how important
it's a 21st century Bond.
He is.
I said, a more grounded, gritty, more realistic, more flawed, vulnerable human being. And that's the best part of this not just this film, but this film series.
Sure.
These five Bond films.
Yes, yes. But this one is bigger than the rest of them in that regard, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah. It's doubling down on things that have been established in the previous four films. And then thematically, it's bringing together the other elements of the previous films as well. So, and again, we'll stay vague for spoilers at this point in time, but I like that part. I like the fact we got a through line here. I like the fact that when characters die, it's for keeps.
Yes.
And the fact that characters die. You know, we go back to Skyfall and
Absolutely.
And M.
That's a good point.
Yep.
And now we got Reef Fiennes being the new M and he's all troubled and shit. Very, very cool. And I think, you know what, I was actually worried when I heard that he's bringing in like the Fleabag writer and stuff. And I'm like, are you going to pretty up the thing and then make it not cool anymore? Like, are you going to make this too soft?
Well, I'm glad they did.
No, I'm glad they did too. I was worried. And then she came, and then what I can imagine is the feminine touch with the writing and the script and the script doctoring. Bond is allowed to have fun with jokes. There's even an Austin Powers joke in this film, by the way.
What was it again?
Well, Q's cat looks like Mr. Bigglesworth.
Right.
Like, it's the exact same hairless Mexican.
Well, he says, yeah, yeah, okay.
So I'm like, that's...
I have fur for these, you know.
Exactly. There is a scene in this film as well, and this is not a spoiler, right? But where Bond is in sort of a tunnel, and he has to turn around and shoot someone who's shooting at
him. Yeah, and they shot it like
that. And I was like, it looks like the gun barrel! Like, so I love this visual style. I love... Cary Fukunaga, I reckon... True Detective was already the fucking tits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then season two sucked a dick.
Yep.
I don't know what happened, all right? But he's clearly a good filmmaker.
I don't think he directed season two. I could be wrong. But he also directed Beast of No Nation, which is very good, and Maniac, the Netflix series, which I did not watch, so I can't really comment
on
that.
Yeah. See, now after this, I might give that a look, because I've heard good things about that. So I reckon Danny Boyle wouldn't have been able to do it this good, man.
All right, so here's the things I didn't like.
Bring it.
It wasn't Danny Boyle, it was Sam Mendes, by the way.
Sam Mendes. No, it's Sam Mendes' last one. Danny Boyle was going to do this one.
Was he going to?
Yeah.
And then
Creative Differences and he fucked off and did like Yesterday or something. Yeah.
Oh, God, that was a piece of shit.
I love that show.
Fuck that movie.
God damn it.
Now, look, the other thing that sucked other than the runtime, it was too long and too drawn out and desperately needed an editor, particularly the second act, was the villain here is god awful yet again.
Rami Malek?
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
The villain here is such. And then. There is a moment in this film where his actions just pivot in a way which at best is poorly written and at worst is just completely plot driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just don't buy the way he escalated
All right, we'll talk about that in spoilers because I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Ineffectual, this ridiculously... It felt Eddie Redmayne, his performance, almost for me.
Who?
I hate Rami Malek. Yeah. Hated him.
Okay, so...
Not threatening.
My
waste of space.
Well, the thing is...
My take.
No, fair enough. No, I agree. Well, here's the thing. There's more than one bad guy in this film. All right? Mm-hmm. So the Rami Malek guy is there to present sort of a more immediate threat, whereas the rest of the Spectre-type threat is prevalent throughout. It's like it's in the background of everything. So sure. I think that's... I'm not saying it's an excuse.
And even the muscle in this film, the guy who's meant to be the muscle and pops up to fight Bond, and I'm like, this is shit. He's shit.
I wasn't that scared of him.
No.
But it was threatening. And the thing is, like, this movie is all about Bond, though, right?
Yeah, sure.
And even though, can we talk about Ana de Armas for a second?
Yeah, great scene.
Okay, so Ana de Armas, I was watching her, what she does, right? She's an operative that turns up with him, and she plays it wide-eyed, like, I've had 3 weeks of training, right? And everyone laughed in the cinema. I was like, all right, good. And then as she did her thing, I'm like, I think this might be the best Bond girl I've ever seen. And I'm not necessarily an Ana de Armas fan. Like, I'm like, she was all right in Knives Out and stuff like that. Fine, you know?
Blade Runner 2049.
What? Yeah, you're right.
She's a hologram.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Look, she's very nice. But it was, I'm not like, you know, she ain't no Rebecca
Ferguson.
So, but seeing that, and it's just it's a swan in and swan out. It was clearly a very purpose-driven character and couple of scenes, right? But it was amazing, and it kept me like, I don't know, it just sort of made me happy in the middle of it whenever she turned up. So that was cool.
The opening half of the film is way better than the second half. Way better.
You know, funny thing, I rewatched Casino Royale not long ago, like a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And the last act of that film is kind of boring because it's all about how happy Bond is with Vesper and I'm going to fuck off around Europe and we're going to go on boats. And that shit lasts 28 minutes, man. All right? And then the thing happens at the end, right? So I'm like, I was looking at going, you know, they could have fucking lost quite a bit of this.
Okay.
No, so not I reckon Bond films are like, I don't know. These days they seem to be a little verbose.
Yeah, 163 minutes is too long. As I said, I think the opening's excellent. I think the next scene after the credits is very... Credits come like 20, 25 minutes into the film. The next scene is also very, very good. And then we get that, you know, eventually we get to Cuba and the scene that happens there with Ana de Armas. And so that's great too.
That's
and
all
after
cool.
that, the film's downhill for me.
Look, I will say this. And this is in the trailers, but you know he's using his the Aston Martin, the old Aston Martin. He's driving that. In the trailers, he has the machine guns coming out of the fucking...
Yeah, well, I don't think we should just keep drawing things to trailer, so try not to.
No, okay. So, but like what I'm saying is that whole scene where he's being chased, his car has analog controls.
I know, for all I don't care.
I was like, awesome. That's beautiful, man. It's fucking awesome. Beautiful. What? Oh, come on, man. All right, design was cool is what I'm saying. And also, pretty enough, that Italian village or wherever he was...
Yep.
I was looking at the screen. I actually almost dropped my jaw and said, that's such a beautiful shot because it got little fires everywhere. I'm like, what the hell is that?
So burning their wishes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, again, I didn't hate this film. I think it's good. I'll give you right now where I think it ranks. It's mid-tier Bond of these Daniel Craig ones. For me, it's smack bang number three.
So you're going like Casino Royale,
yep.
Then Skyfall,
yep.
Then
this one,
then
Spectre,
Quantum of Solace.
Okay. It's way better than Spectre, which was a bitter disappointment.
Do you know what the problem with Spectre was? Fucking Blofeld was shit. That was the problem with it. Everything else was good about the show. It was just that was shit and it's enough
to disappoint you. Bad villain drags it down.
Well, you know what's interesting about this villain, right? Usually you leave a Bond film and you should kind of like the villain and the James Bond kind of the same. That's like, you know...
Okay, if you say so.
Well, you know Skyfall?
Yep.
Javier Bardem, he was good, man.
Great
he
villain.
He was good. Like, I kind of like him, right? He's a
Mads Mikkelsen and Casino
Royale. Mads Mikkelsen, fantastic, okay? So
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, so this film here, you definitely... But again, it's about Bond, so I could see why they went that way. Anyway, for me, it felt deliberate. If not, for you, perhaps ineffective. But okay, all right. Well, there you go.
All right, well, that's our non-spoiler thoughts. We danced around some stuff there.
We totally did.
Let's get into what we thought of the rest of the film and how it all ends up after Jack.
You can't handle the truth!
Okay, now listen, if you haven't seen the film, I know a lot of you just like listen on.
Stop.
Yeah, if you like James Bond, you gotta stop. Fucking, all yeah,
we're
stop.
We're getting every bit of warning now. We'll
come back.
Here we are. Some cunt spoiled this for me.
Oh, what the fuck? Oh, no wonder you fucking hate it, you fuck.
I don't
which
hate
cunt
it.
Fucking, which cunt spoiled it for you?
So I will cut him. I was tagged in on a Universal Pictures tweet from saying, opens today in Australia. And someone from the UK said, hey, you count and boys reviewing this. And I, before I could even reply, someone went, Bond dies.
Ah, that cunt. Just take him out. Someone fucked up the Force Awakens for me like that too. Like, on a completely unrelated post, Harrison Ford fucking gets killed by his... You know,
because I think it would have had more impact for me had I not
Yes, it would have, Paul. What happened was at the end where you're sitting there and you're seeing all the shit that happens and, oh, he's been smashed with the vial with the fucking nanobots that he can't, and he can no longer touch his daughter.
That film sets it up. Like, the moment he goes and says goodbye to them and there's this flash of light, like, it's bathing them in this radiance as the female 007 gets them out.
Doesn't mean he necessarily
hang on. See, that would have been my first clue. And then as soon as he got scratched with the vial to mark him with this, never touch them again or they'll die.
Well, the whole time, I agree. Yes, look, it's definitely going that way. But here's the thing about Bond. He always pulls a win from thin air. So it could be the case of, oh, he fired the missiles already. Don't worry, I'm going back up. I'm like, holy shit, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill James Bond, which has never happened before. And I'm like, oh, God, he's going back up. And then Rami Malek's an asshole. So he goes, blam, 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 blam. Oh, okay. James Bond just fucking dusts him, goes back up, one last call to the fucking wife and kids. And it's like, holy shit, they're going to do it. I was the whole time thinking, well, maybe he'll just run and jump off the side. No, fuck it. I'll find a way. I'll jump off the side. But I'm like, you know what? It would be way better if they did kill him because that's never happened in a Bond film before.
Agreed.
And it's Daniel Craig's definite literal swan song because they killed that character. You know what happens now, Paul? They don't continue this fucking lineage anymore.
Well, what I liked about this film is they established and they give final credence to. I don't know whether the previous film did this, but they basically said 007 is a tag. It's not you. It's not this guy.
No, they can reassign. Well, here's the thing, though. They do and they don't. Because 007...
They reassign it to the...
We know 007 is already, like, the number of whatever 00 you are. But to what we've known, the 007s we've known have always been James Bond.
Yeah, the same guy. So I'm saying, this film, before we even get there, he retires, walks away from it, as you said, at the end of Spectre.
And they give it to a girl,
They give it to the
I can't remember the actress's name, but yeah.
Lynch. Last name Lynch.
Lynch. Okay. Yep. So, yeah, but see, the fan theory was that James Bond, as well as 007, is actually a moniker, and any dude who turns up actually takes the name James Bond 007.
Right.
It's breaking that tradition. But that's fine. For the purposes of the show, absolutely fine. But I can't believe that they actually killed him. I actually can't believe it. I'm like, holy shit. So, you see, if you already had that.
It makes sense in a way.
Take 20% of your fucking
Daniel Craig's just like, I am done. I wonder if he did a Han Solo and said, I'll come back for one more, but you need to make sure this is finished.
He absolutely did that. And if he's already thinking after Spectre, I broke my leg and what the fuck, mm-hmm. He's like, if I do one more, it's literally one more. And I can't even believe the number I'm going to throw at them. Right?
What that decision does for me is it creates a real interest in what happens next. Do they give Lashana Lynch the role? Is she now going to be 007? Will it be someone else random? Will it be shared around between four or five people who just jump in and out of the role as required on that? Like, is it a team of 007s? These are all interesting ideas.
No, here's my prediction, okay? Huh? I can totally get, if you're listening to this 2 years from now and the new Bond say, hey, he was totally fucking wrong. But here's what I think makes sense, right?
Yeah, okay.
You can't continue with this Bond. You can't continue with this M. You can't continue with this, like...
Why can't you have the same M? Why can't you have the same M, the same Q?
Yeah, you can. But I'm saying I don't think they'll do that.
I would rather they did that.
So you're rather that the next Bond film is whoever the new guy is, fingers crossed, Henry Cavill. Let's say it's him, and he's still talking to Ralph Fiennes. Is that right?
Why not?
Because I think what the studio will
do... You're probably right.
Yeah, they'll just go, fuck it. All new Bond. All new M, this, that, and we make it totally fucking woke. Like, this Bond is already the wokest Bond ever, right? He's James Bond.
Well, it's not hard, comparatively.
Exactly, right? But, like, they're doing that, right? So it's like, okay, well, now... Because think about Ralph Fiennes going to want... Like, it's going to be expensive to do that new Bond.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah?
But so I reckon it just becomes
an all-new Bond.
Setting it in this universe and having Nomi as...
I would love it. And
I'm not sure
actually,
she can be the star of a film.
I don't think she should be James Bond. It has to be James Bond.
Not James Bond. James Bond. 007.
That's what I'm saying. It's not 007. It's James Bond.
So could they spin off and have a Nomi 007 and then a different...
Yes, they could absolutely
do that. It would dilute the brand.
To be kicked over to 008 or whatever, right? Mm. But like, that's the thing. Like, I don't... Look, okay, we'll talk about this just real quick, okay? Why can't the new James Bond be a woman? Because his name is James and it's stupid, all right? If you want a fucking a female spy, just make a new female spy. Like Wanted or fucking...
Well, it could be in the same universe as far as I'm concerned. It just wouldn't be 007.
Exactly. Just split it off. Why does it... stupid, right? So that's why. But I reckon they go new.
Well, Felix is dead as well, so...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All the good guys are out, man. You need to... Mm. And so, by the way, that was big. Felix getting shot. I guess you probably saw that coming, but like... It was an interesting... I don't know. The whole time this film, I liked the whole thing.
Like I said, I think the best scene is the opening scene in Italy. I think Ana de Armas' scene. I say it's her scene, but she's very much the centerpiece of it.
It's her scene, bro. That was awesome.
I quite liked the Norway kind of track and chase through the forests.
Yeah, that was good.
Moments there. But the final scene for me, it was so long with that point, and he's just bang, 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 bang. I'm like,
dude, when he was caught by Rami Malek and he had the three guys with guns on him, right? And then he's like, I'm sorry, and he pulls out his secret little Walther, and then bam, 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 takes out three guys. That's some James Bond shit. That's like Casino Royale. No, that's like fucking Sky, whatever.
That was the point where I was starting to get very sleepy. I'm like, I'm done. I saw this film. It started at 9:30 at night.
Oh, what? I went to see it at motherfucking 5:45, yeah, B.I.
It was so
See, you didn't long. Have a chance, Paul. You never stood a chance. You knew the ending. You were tired as a bitch. You got late. It was pissed. You don't like Bond anyway. This, you know what? You should disregard Paul.
I don't worship at the altar of Bond. That is 100%.
That's true. I'm too far one way, but you're way far the other way.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. So I think, well, that'll be interesting then. Okay. Well, all right. Do you have anything more to say?
Well, again, I just want to double down on Rami Malek. So what I was alluding to earlier is this. So he's invested in James Bond's girlfriend based on what happened where I never really worked out who her father was. Is that someone I'm meant to have known?
Yeah. Her father is the guy who, remember at the end of Casino Royale?
Yep.
He shoots some guy in the knee, and he falls down. And Bond turns up, and that's where Quantum of Solace starts as well. And he goes, "John Bond, James Bond, right?" Because that guy was I can't remember his name now, but he was the one who was actually doing all of this shit.
So Bond killed her father.
Shot him in the knee. And then I think it was Spectre. He finds that guy again in this fucking attic, okay. Goes down, and that guy killed himself in front of Bond.
Okay, so I've forgotten that part.
Yeah,
fine.
So that's her dad.
So I couldn't sort of. That's why
he was. That's why he was a killer, and that guy came to hunt down the family in that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's why Rami Malek's character was because he murdered his whole family and left him with a face and then he decides to save Madeline's life. And so when he turns up at her therapy session and basically reveals who he is and says, I want you to do this for me.
Yeah.
I thought that was all pretty powerful. It's very personal. Yeah. I'm trying to kill all of Spectre for what they did to me. Yeah. That worked. I'm like, okay, all right. And then suddenly he just pivots from that to this being I'm going to decide who lives and dies racially in this entire. Mwahaha.
So wait a minute, that's the turn that you don't.
I did not like it at all.
But he killed all of Spectre, and he hated
as revenge.
Bond.
Didn't really hate Bond. He had nothing to do with Bond.
Yeah. So why did he do that thing?
That's what I'm saying. He just went from this kind of personally motivated villain, which was working for me.
Yeah.
We get rid of he gets her to put the stuff on, and then that's going to kill if she touches Blofeld.
And Bond inadvertently
touches her, and hence he touches Blofeld. He's dead.
Yeah.
That all worked great. And now the film needs to have a third act. So it's like, oh, he's got this weapon that we've created and he is creating this to kill off genetically inferior races in his opinion. I'm like, well, when do we get to this? Yeah. Where's that written in his character? There's no warning or hint about that at all.
I will admit to you that I didn't notice that. And now that you mention it, he didn't have any sort of like...
And he's going to sell it to the Russians and the Japanese. I don't know, Russians it was.
Yeah, that actually is out of step with his motivation because it was all about his family and now he's a genocide merchant.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. All right, I will knock 2 off my score for that.
Okay. Well, right? I'm happy. When this is 98, I'm particularly happy. All right. Well, then I'll go first. Solid film. Great opening. First hour or so is really, really really enjoying myself. Gets very boring. As I said, the villain motivations don't work for me at all. It is, however, a fine swan song and a send-off to Daniel Craig as his character. I am interested in where they go next with James Bond as a series of
so
films.
So am I.
So for me, I'm giving this a 64.
Fucking hell! All right. Fair enough. Actually, that's as good as I could hope.
Okay.
If you've been awake, we're in the 70s. Right? I'm telling you, man.
When I fell asleep, literally... Or nodded off. It was literally during the scene where he knelt down in front of Rami Malek, and then I woke up to him shooting everyone. So
oh, for fuck's sake, you fell asleep, cunt!
I missed like 60 seconds.
This is bullshit! That was a big emotional moment, motherfucker! I can't, oh my god! You need to add 10 to your store directly. I swear, people. Next Bond film, I'm just going to stand next to Paul when he sits down and slap him in the face with my dick to make sure he's awake. It might remove might put the score down, though. Anyway, yes.
It might put your score down. What do you mean your score down?
No, your score down. Yeah.
I quite enjoyed the film, The Dick, however.
Fair enough, I've heard that review. okay. Look, 89.
Whoa!
89. Right, it was 91. 91, bro.
Fucking
hell.
This
thing is fucking great. Smalls. I didn't feel at all like it was dragging.
This 91. Number one film of the year.
Easily. 2 hours and 43 minutes. Did not feel like it. I don't know what number it felt like, but it didn't feel like 2 hours and 43. Felt less.
Holy shit.
And I think, I mean, in my defense, I did stay awake. And I didn't know shit about that.
Although he did go for 93 pisses.
I actually pissed once.
What?
Twice. No, sorry. I pissed twice in the middle.
That's more like it.
And then I did have to crack one. No, actually, I was sitting there going, you know what? If you can't go another hour without pissing, then you're just a bitch. And
then
I am
a
bitch.
That's not a 91.
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I think I missed, like, but I was like, you know, I was running. Anyway, what can I say? Yeah, this is the shit,
91?
Man. I didn't.
89, sorry. 89.
I'll say this. I didn't know I wanted to see this in the Bond. I didn't know I wanted to be impressed with the fact that they killed him. I didn't know that I wanted to feel this much for Bond, and I didn't know that I wanted such a non-Bondy Bond film. There you go.
Right, well, there it is. Our take on No Time to Die, the final Daniel Craig Bond film. What did you think? Did you enjoy it? Now it's a download on Premium Access, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So everyone
give
can
it a
enjoy
try, folks.
This particular film at any point that they wish to. And let us know what you thought. Was it great? Was it just okay? Or did you hate it?
Or did you hate it?
Yeah, that's potentially a...
Did you fall asleep through the whole fucking thing?
The whole thing, for fuck's sake. We're going to ignore Wayne to say, and you can let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on Podbean, where we host, and check out the Facebook listed community. Well, hopefully there'll be some discussion about this particular film in due course. The link is in the show notes, and that is it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard, when Wayne scores a film 89.
What the
which
hell?
Is just average.
Ballsy. No! Stupid, no! But ballsy.
What? No.
We could have used these to wake your punk ass up towards the last act. One guy talking.
We'll catch it next time.
See ya.